Good morning, Shepherd's Church.
Good morning.
Great to see you today as we come to share in our worship. I made a mistake about a week ago. I told Becky that I was very pleased that I had made it through all winter without a bad cold or anything like that. That was the biggest mistake I made. I just want to tell you. I will keep some distance today. Because I've got a lot of stuff going on, a little coughing, so I appreciate you all and love you dearly, but I'll keep a little bit of distance as we can. But I appreciate your prayers, and maybe I can find myself a medical professional tomorrow, so we'll see. Other announcements, next Sunday is Pentecost, so I beg you to wear red. Dress wild, lots of colors if you want, but certainly wear red if you have it. And we'll come together for our Pentecost celebration. And in a few weeks, our district superintendent will come and preach, and we'll be here the first Sunday in June. And I'm thankful that she will be able to come and share with you all. She's delightful. I think you'll appreciate her as she comes to share with us. Are there other announcements we need to add? Anyway, we collecting food?
Next Sunday? Yeah.
Anytime.
The third day.
Yeah, really anytime. But we're targeting, we always target at the end of the month, giving some food for the food pantry. Anyone else?
There's a stock building list in the bulletin, and there's a gray container out here in the foyer for all those supplies that anybody would like.
Excellent. All right. Well, then let's begin worship with the prelude and the lightning candles. I invite you to stand as you're able. We'll have a gathering prayer and a call to worship. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, as we gather together today. Be with us, pour your Spirit in and through us. Let hear all we offer to you as thanksgiving, praise, and glory from these your people. As we gather for worship, may it be about you, because so much of you is about us. We thank you, O God, that we can gather in this place and give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to say that all of you out here are the respondents, and all of your choir are leaders. So let's be leaders together.
In your strength, the King rejoices, O Lord, and in your help, how greatly he exalts.
You have given him our heart's desire, and now have dealt with the request of his lips.
For you meet him with rich blessings, you set a crown of fine gold on his head.
He asks you for life, you gave it to him.
Maker in whom we live. Let's sing together. Tradition to pray silently in confession before we have corporate confession and words of pardon. So let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in the glory of your ways. Always to the glory of your name, we pray, forgive us, free us, and grant us your grace. Amen. Almighty God has had mercy on us, so in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Joys and concerns that you may have to share today.
I'm going to try to take the oxygen off the baby this week. Only 2%.
Excellent. Great.
I'll pray for Megan and Mike. They finally won on their honeymoon, so they weren't in Greece and he got to make it, right? So it's a long trip, but I'll pray for them.
All right.
Phyllis's brother, Robert Payne, came home from the hospital Thursday. He came to lift up his recovery and lift up Phyllis, the primary caregiver for both her brother and himself. I texted Kathy's home, and in Kathy's words, she broke out of jail yesterday. She is at home with her family, Tracy, and says she still got recovery today.
Do I have a little glow about me? I got a reflection here. Should I do this? This last week has been National Police Week, declared so many years ago. And as police chaplain for Tappahannock, I had a memorial service with them and with the regional, a couple of sheriffs and chiefs on Wednesday. And so I invite you to remember those who serve us in that way. And for all the public servants who are out there serving us, it's one of the things, it's a tough reality. Here we are in May, and as of the beginning of May, 40 people have gone to work and not come home, cops in this country, in that short a period of time. And that's just tragic, and I offer that to you as something concerned to me. It's a beautiful day. We did have a little bit of the R word. We could use a little R. Don't want to jinx it too much. Anything else? All right, then let us pray. Oh, there's a great hymn you've given us, O God, for the beauty of the earth. We come today knowing that there is great beauty in this earth and great beauty in your creation, beauty in the creation of what we see out there, but also beauty of the creation of what you made in us. Help us all to be caretakers of what you've given us and created. We thank you for the blessing of what we have and who we are in your creation. We pray many concerns today for those who are sick and ill, whether they be babies who are thriving and coming back, or folks that are trying to heal up, for brothers who we have to care for Kathy, for the many we've mentioned today. We've mentioned many of those. We lift them to you. For those who are facing surgeries and procedures, we also lift them to you and pray, O God, that in your mercy you may show them your healing. We come today also with a sense of joy for the celebrations we have, of birthdays that come, of anniversaries that come, of honeymoons, of travel. But in all of that, help us to know that you call us together to be together for the goodness and grace of all. We pray today for this community, for our commonwealth, for our nation, and the nations of the world, that all over our leaders might find ways of peace to work together for the goodness and grace of all. So we seek justice and pray that you might show mercy, and that we might learn that as your people gather together. We pray for those who are public servants all around, schools in and most of the jurisdictions around us. We pray for those students who go home to places that are not necessarily as secure as we would like. They may struggle, but help us to remember them, and always pray for those teachers that they may have a sense of holiday, a sense of vacation. We thank you for their service to us and caring for those young ones among us. And as we pray today for all of those who serve us, we pray for the medical folk who care for us, for all of those who are in first responder professions, all those around. And we lift them to you and pray that you would make us mindful of what they face on our behalf. We pray today for those who are hungry and thirsty. We pray that we might do all we can in our food pantry to care for those locally, but remembering always as we eat that in that providence we should give thanks and remember those who are in need. So help us as your church and the churches of the world to feed those who are hungry, to give water to those who are thirsty, to take care of the lonely and the imprisoned, those to whom you have called for generations for us to be caring for. We pray for this church and its legacy. We're thankful that we could come and be together and smile and laugh and cry and make this our place of worship. And we pray for the United Methodist Church all around the world, where those gather today giving thanks and praying to you. But as we all pray, we pray for our world, and we pray for goodness and grace for all your people. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who taught us so much, but indeed taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll sing together, "This Is My Father's Will."
Oh, nature.
Yes, I want to tell a story. This happens, and it happens to be a significant kind of week for me. And it's graduation time for Randolph-Macon College this week. The graduates will come, and I should tell the story that the first day of college when I went to Randolph-Macon, it was you checked in and on the Sunday before Labor Day, and new students would come, and I had never met my roommate. My roommate was Lee Davies. Lee Davies was from a little place called, and I'm going to say it right, Culpeper. He came from Culpeper. And we roomed together for 3 years. We were assigned together. Now, my point of this is that Lee Davies from Culpeper never received anything but an A in any class at Randolph-Macon. So they put the highest performing fellow with the lowest performing fellow who struggled to get A's, and we got along well. I give that tribute because I think Lee actually pulled me up, and we had a great time together. I reconnected with him lately, and am thankful for him. But we graduated. I think Lee was the top of our class, and I was in the other place. And sometimes I thought it was more like a release rather than a graduation, but I did finish. And I managed to actually really learn how to learn when I was in graduate school, because I thought they were always shortcuts, but no shortcuts. But I tell you, because when I graduated 50 years ago from Randolph Macon, our commencement speaker was named George H.W. Bush. It's interesting to me that he came to us as the speaker, and I remember it well. And of course, there were only 154 graduates. We were a small school. And then CIA Director George H.W. Bush came and made sure he spoke to all of us and shook all of our hands and congratulated us. And so I'm nostalgic about that as I hit my 50-year mark. And they'll have a celebration for all the folks who have survived to this point in October for all the 50-year graduates. And they have a society that they induct us into, and then they ask us for more money. So anyway, it's one of those things. But I thought I'd tell you those little facts and little things about me and about my nostalgia these days. So thank you. I appreciate you hearing me as we share. This year, the graduation speaker is Kwame, and I will murder his name. He's Poet Laureate, anyway, he's a great poet and charming, strong speaker. I would like to go, but I don't think I'm going to make it. But it's something for which I give thankful. Thanks today. The gospel lectionary today comes from the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke and the last words of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the 44th verse. Hear now the words of the gospel. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting his hands up, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. May God add blessing to this, the reading from the gospel.
Thanks be to God.
Witnesses. A part of this scripture, when I read it, bothers me. It bothers me because I'm reading it, because I know that what I want you to do when you are in front of me is that after we get done today, is I want you to go be the church out there. I want you to leave here and be the church wherever you go, every day, all week, to be the church. We want to be sure that our Christianity is not, and I correct myself, ours. It is a Christianity that is shared. It is a Christianity that calls us to the world and not to be separated from it. So when I read this final part of the Gospel of Luke, and that Jesus has reappeared to the disciples before his ascension, is that he tells them that they should just stay in Jerusalem until they receive the power, until they're clothed with power from on high. So that gives a little bit of an out, but it's there. And then the scripture tells us that they had great joy and that they were in the temple and they were praising him at all times. Would you understand the tension for me? The tension is, I think it'd be great if we could be here all the time and we could be singing hymns and praying and praising and having a great sense of who we are in worship. But to me, in our call and in my ministry, for all the years I know and from what I have inherited, we are called to go out the door, as I told people and tried to remind my children particularly, you know, take a little Jesus with you. Go out there and share a little Jesus. Take Jesus with you. You know, I know Jesus is with you, but you could actually show it. You could actually do that. So I guess I get tangled up some in what that means. Now, of course, part of this is for us to realize and for Steve to be humbled and say, what is happening is that, and the reason the lectionary particularly is here, for this, the last Sunday in Easter, that it is a time for us to be looking and saying, what is about to happen? What is about to happen in the lectionary is that next week I will read from Acts, and I will read that second chapter, and I will read the story of Pentecost. And it will be a time when we talk about the Holy Spirit coming and resting on God's people. That sounds like the power of the Most High, doesn't it? Yes, indeed, it is the power of the Most High that comes and gets us and rests upon us, so that when we might be all comfortable, then indeed the Holy Spirit might make us uncomfortable. That somehow, as the Holy Spirit comes to us, it will empower us and it will help us to realize that there is more to us and more to our ability and opportunity to witness than we had known. So Jesus goes and he's telling his disciples in a very clear way that he wants them to understand that not only are they supposed to be witnesses, but they need to remember everything that they had taught him. And so that each of them were to say, we are connected. Now, I've shared with you many times, particularly in our prayer life, but I have done it also, I hope, in my preaching, that you understand that I believe all of this business of the prophecy that is in the Old Testament, all of the calls of the Old Testament, all of the Hebrew calls, all of the Jewish power and the Jewish calls are active for us. And that Jesus, remember, has told us, I came not to do away with all of the law of Moses, but I came to, you know the word, fulfill it. And that as Jesus has come to fulfill it, he is reminding his disciples once again that he is a fulfillment. He's reminding them that he has come and that all of the law of Moses can be fulfilled once again. And he says, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day. I hope the disciples had gotten a clue by then. But indeed, he is saying he is a fulfillment. He is a fulfillment, and that the repentance and the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then he tells us those words that have no escape, very clear. You are witnesses to these things. So this means you're not just a witness to a comfortable Jesus loves me, this I know. You're not witnesses just to the easy parts, the miracle worker, the one who blessed so many. No, you are also witnesses to the prophecy. You're also witnesses to what is fulfilled. You're also witnesses somehow to where we celebrate a faith, old and new. Old and new now. You celebrate a faith as a Christian a faith that understands that we are to make the world better. And that we're supposed to make the world better, not selfishly for us, and really not completely benevolently for other people, but we're supposed to make the world better for Almighty God. It is a call that we make that it means that we are to celebrate not just what is new, but also what is old. Jesus is telling his disciples at the last minute, go to the temple, go in Jerusalem, you will receive power from on high, but remember from whence you came. It is just like most think of us may have told our children. Most of us hope to tell our children someday, but go and do well as I have taught you. Go and behave. Go and be those who celebrate the prophecy of God. Celebrate what it meant to be a Hebrew person who is fulfilled as a Hebrew. Celebrate who you are as Jesus' person. Go and share it, because you are indeed what he calls you, witnesses. Witnesses to the love of God and Jesus Christ. You are witnesses, and see that I am sending upon you what my Father promised. And so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Well, I challenge you this week. I challenge you as God's people. As you come from different places, you have different struggles, you have different great and joys in your life. All of us do. It's always a mix, isn't it? Seems like it's always that way for me. It's always a mix. You got joys, you got concerns, you got things that are on your mind. But in the midst of all of that, take the week to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the empty tomb, to celebrate the call he makes to you, that he loved you enough to die for you, that he loved you enough to make a difference forever for you. But also be prepared to receive the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That as we come next Sunday and we read the great Pentecost story, we will be prepared to be God's people. God's people who know that we are witnesses to the faith. We are witnesses to Jesus Christ, that we have gone to temple, we have gone to Jerusalem, we have come out of the temple, we have come out of Jerusalem, and we have gone into the world to celebrate the great love of God in Jesus Christ. And may it always be so. May you be a delight to others. A delight because the Jesus in you does what? Meets the Jesus in others. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for this word today. Help us remember that you empower us with the presence of this word, but you also empower us with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. May we remember and prepare and clothe ourselves just as your disciples, and always serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue worship with the giving of tithes and gifts. let's sing together, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord. You look at each other. See, I could see all of you up here, but you know. And but I want you to, as you're at church today, I want you to look at a person, find a person in this crowd, and don't tell them, but pray for them every day this week. Just pick somebody up, pray for them every day this week, and then next week, if the Holy Spirit stirs you, you might tell them, you know, I prayed for you all week. Make it personal. Make it known. Make it known that you are witnesses, and pray that we can be better witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may you all go in peace, know of the goodness and grace of God and the Lord. May you go to be His witnesses for all good things, grace and peace. Amen. Mm.